This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Tom, I'm revved up and ready to go.
Well, I can hear it. You know, this moron's been idling this motorcycle outside for 5 minutes. And finally, we're like, we'll just record. And that's when he decides to go full throttle.
Yeah, pretty cool guy.
Yeah, and we could redo the intro, but it's too late. How are you? You said you're revved up and ready to go.
Yeah, it was a play on the motorcycle.
I get it.
How are you doing this week, Tom?
I'm good. I thought I was having a stroke earlier today.
Why?
Because I smelled burnt toast, which is what they tell you.
Yeah. Were you making toast?
No, that was the thing. I wasn't making toast. No. I was in the kitchen. I'm like, oh, it smells like burnt toast. And I went to my girlfriend and I was like, were you making toast earlier? She's like, nope. And I'm like, oh no.
That's when you had to ask her, do you smell burnt toast?
Well, that's when I was like, can you come out here and see if you smell this too? And she did. And then I asked her if she could smell what The Rock was cooking. And then she thought it was all just, you know, a big old joke on her.
Yeah.
Which in a way it was. But I was glad somebody,
her life with you.
Somebody had simply burned some toast. Well, then we opened up the door of the hallway and it was like, oh, God, it smells awful in here.
Tom, it smelled like smoke in the hallway when I arrived.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably still, because it smelled bad enough that I thought I was having a stroke.
Yeah.
So somebody really burnt the toast.
As I was walking here, I was like, this building might be on fire.
Yeah.
As I was walking down your hallway.
Well, my building's been on fire before, so.
Well, so it knows.
it knows how to do it.
Yeah. And I was thinking, if we had to cut the episode short because we had to evacuate because the building's
right.
on fire,
mm-hmm.
we can still put that episode out. We won't
have to get back together.
Yeah, we wouldn't have to get together and redo it.
Right. And everybody would have to just accept it.
Yeah, there was a fire, everybody.
Yeah, come on.
Calm down.
What do you expect from us?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh, a shortened episode. Guess what? Lives were lost.
Oh, in this circumstance, we're still recording while there is a life-threatening fire going on?
Yeah.
Wow. We're heroes.
We're heroes for sticking it out as long as we did before we cut it short.
Yeah, but for some people, it's just not good enough.
No. Oh,
they say,
I need an extra 15 minutes of you two talking about swimming.
Yeah.
You know what? We'll talk about swimming another time. It's an emergency. There's elderly people in this building, for Christ's sakes.
I hope not. That was one of the stipulations when I moved in. No olds.
No olds. Old neighbors are the best.
What about when they're nosy?
Who's nosy? Look, a nosy neighbor, especially an elderly person, is... In New York, Tom, it's lovely. Who else gives a shit about you other than like some old lady being like, oh, and like seeing you and your girlfriend being like, you two married? And you have to lie and say yes because you know this old lady is old fashioned.
Why would I lie? I don't care what some old lady
That's what
thinks.
I did before I was married when some old lady asked. Well, she went like, you guys are married, right? And it's like...
Well, in fairness, Tim, the displays of public affection that you and your now wife took part in on the busy streets of New York City, it was shocking that you weren't married with what you were doing. I can see why an old woman would ask that.
Knowing me and knowing my wife... I don't think we've ever so much as like held hands in public.
Yeah, I've often thought it's a sham marriage.
Yeah, well,
that both of you are hiding something.
No, both of us are just like, we don't want to like I don't know. When I see like a couple holding hands, I'm like, ugh, do you have to do that?
You don't even want to hold hands.
I don't want to see other people holding hands. You know me, Tom.
Oh, I don't care.
My whole thing is I don't like.
people.
People I don't know enjoying themselves in public, in front of me. I want them to be happy in general, but I don't want them like expressing their happiness in any way. Like, that's not what the public is for. Someone outside is for.
You sound like one of these bureaucrats from 1984.
Yeah.
The book, not the year.
Oh, I thought you meant like, oh, yeah, the Ronald Reagan.
You sound like a member of Ronald Reagan's cabinet. I also.
Ron Reagan or Don Reagan, right? There was a guy in Ronald Reagan's cabinet.
Yeah.
Donald Reagan.
Yeah, which is crazy. Yeah. I mean, that had to have just been a bit,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, we gotta get this guy in the cabinet. Yeah, all right, cool.
He was like an intern or something. Like, oh, I don't know, President Reagan.
Make him join chief of staff.
Hey, it'll be very funny. Well, it'll be funnier than the time I paired up with an orangutan.
Yeah.
For a movie.
He didn't know it was for a movie.
Oh, that kind of makes sense. Yeah. I don't think he knew he was president either. He thought that was for a movie. Speaking of movies, Tim, I've noticed recently in commercials for movies, a previously unimportant, dumb part of the advertisement that is now very useful, which is when at the end of a movie trailer or like a commercial, they say available only in theaters.
Right.
That used to just be dumb where it was like, yeah, I know it's a new movie. Of course it's only in theaters. But now, you don't know if it's only in theaters.
Yeah, it might be on a streamer, Tom.
Yeah, it might be a day and date release.
Yeah.
So, if you work for a movie studio and you're listening to this, probably to try and get big new ideas for movies.
Yeah.
Thank you for keeping that part in, because I saw a trailer for a movie today and I said, I'd like to see that. And I said, only in theaters. And I said, no, I won't go see that.
You're not going to go see a movie in a theater anytime
No,
soon?
I will. But this was like a movie where it was like, oh, that looks like dumb. Like, that looks like that might not be a good movie, but a movie that I'd be interested in.
That's what I'm kind of excited to see in a theater.
A bad movie?
Not a bad movie, but like roll the dice.
Yeah, sure. But this was like a movie where it was like, this is like a summer blockbuster type movie.
Don't you want to see it on the big screen? What is it, Jaws?
No, it's Tim, you're woefully out of date in movies. The new Ryan Reynolds movie, Free Guy, where he's like a guy in an NPC in a video game.
Yeah, Tom, that's all your favorite things.
I know. I'm not actually a huge Ryan Reynolds
You're a
fan.
Big Deadpool guy. You have a Deadpool tattoo. Do you or do you not?
Your silence speaks volumes, it's in a place,
friend.
Tim, where I honestly don't know how you even saw it, because it's in a place pretty discreet.
Where? Nobody,
it's inside my butt cheeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Inside.
Yep. So even if
how
I
did
you
find
you,
a willing tattoo artist?
You could find a tattoo artist that would do that. They got tattoo artists that do all kinds of crazy things. I was reading about this guy. I forget what country he's in. I want to say like Spain or Brazil, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like, he wants to look like an alien. See, so like, his whole body's tattooed. But then, like,
I didn't read Spain or Brazil or something. Okay.
And then he got his nose removed. Hmm. And then he's got, like, you know, bulges in his head.
Yeah,
he's got
things
implanted in his head.
People do that. But a guy to, like, spend a bunch of time with your butt cheeks spread while
they could put
buzzing away.
I don't know, like some tape
while
over
you
your
scream in horror.
They could put tape over your butthole or something.
All right,
it's like,
okay.
What? I'm just look. You wanted to know the logistics of this.
I wanted to talk about going to the movies.
Well, it's a part of going to the movies, Tim. New experiences, but. Like, that's the kind of movie where it's like, you know what?
That's exactly what I want to see.
No, I don't want to. Like, if that movie comes out and it gets rave reviews, I'll go see it. But I imagine it's going to get like, the movie was all right.
That's cool.
The kind of movie I want to see on, a streaming service.
No, if it's just all right, then you're just like, look, I could be doing a million other things right now.
No.
If you're in the theater, you're like, well, here I am. I got some popcorn and, like, I got to power through this.
No way, because when you're in the theater, then the whole time you're like, oh, I can't be doing anything else.
Yeah.
This is just dragging. I'm wasting time. I could be doing literally anything else. And I'm sitting in a theater and I can't even take my phone out.
Right.
During this Ryan Reynolds monologue about, you know, finding true love by the end of the movie or something.
Yeah.
But I am excited to go see a movie eventually. I'm not going to go see A Quiet Place Part 2 because it's coming to Paramount Plus, next month.
Did you see A Quiet Place Part 1?
Yes, but not in a theater, I don't think.
I saw it in a theater, and I had no desire to see it.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of Jim from The Office.
Right.
He's a bully.
You don't like how he can see you through the TV.
I really don't like.
I know you actually don't like that.
When they break the fourth wall, and like that's not what happened on The Office. It was a mockumentary, but like I don't like when people look at the camera.
Well, but I'm saying like, you know, everybody did it during interviews or whatever, but like Jim would do it during.
No, like yeah, he'd be talking to a coworker and then he'd turn and look at you in the camera. I don't like that one bit. So I guess I am kind of afraid of Jim from The Office.
Yeah. So you didn't want to see the movie because you were afraid of... Because normally you can at least watch The Office in the privacy of your own home. So if it startled you and you yelped, and nobody else would know except for your wife.
Exactly.
But going to a theater, a quiet place, you were worried about halfway through the movie, Jim from The Office turning to the camera and giving a look.
It's one thing.
Like, can you believe this? Can you believe what's happening?
Yeah, like when Ferris Bueller does it, it's like, okay, you're a little too much, man. Like you're talking too much to the screen, and like just like a glance, a knowing glance at the screen. That's the creepiest thing in the world. They should do that more often.
But you saw Quiet Place.
I saw
it
in the theater, and I think if I was watching that on television, 30 minutes in, I'd go, I get it. All right. And then I'd pick up my phone or probably more likely like turn on an episode of The Office or something and be like, oh, yeah, I think The Office, oh, this guy reminds me of the guy from The Office. And then I'd be like, oh, this is the guy from The Office. And I'd put on The Office.
Probably in between there would be another step, which is this The Office?
No, it might have been like one of the, remember the weird backdoor pilot for the Shroot Farms episode?
I watched that recently, yeah.
That was the worst episode of any.
That was a real
ever.
Bad backdoor pilot. So for anybody that doesn't know, it was like the third to last episode of The Office. It was a Dwight-centric episode that was a backdoor pilot because they were going to make a Frasier-style spinoff of The Office called The Farm with Dwight.
And your favorite actor, Thomas Middleditch.
it was just a real weird episode because like Dwight is not a good protagonist. So they had to make him like the voice of reason in this.
Yeah.
Which like Frasier, he's got all craziness going on around him and he's the grounded person. He's the one that's saying like, I can't believe I have to deal with this. And they tried to make Dwight that. And it's like, that's not what that character is. That's not why people like that character.
Anyway, the fact that, there were a bunch of people on the edge of their seats in this, because it's a very suspenseful movie,
right.
A Quiet Place Part 1. And that all would have been lost on me because I would have been like annoyed on my couch. But like when forced to and everybody's like watching and it's quiet and it's like, oh no, I hope this little girl doesn't drop a glass of milk or something. I don't know what happened in the movie. I don't remember.
You're like, I don't know why I'm so invested in that.
No, because the aliens would hear it, Tom, and then they'd come in. It makes noise.
I thought you didn't
understand
that part. I thought you just don't like to see milk being wasted.
Well, that too, Tom. But by the end, I was like, oh, that was a fun, like, that needed to be a communal experience for me.
Well, that's stupid, Tim. The movie's called A Quiet Place. You're supposed to watch it in a quiet place, and it sounds like you were any place but.
Yeah. I mean, no, I was in a quiet movie
theater.
Were you
shushing people the whole time?
No, I wasn't. Hey,
did you not see what the sign said outside? A quiet place. That's where we are.
That's what I came here for.
I
didn't even know a movie was playing.
I came here with a book to finally get some peace and quiet. It cost me $21.
Quiet Place 2 in theaters now.
Tim, this week, as part of our summer series,
the TCGTE Summer Fun in the Sun series. I was going to say concert series, but this isn't a concert.
Yeah. I mean, you basically just said what I said, but with a long pause in between two of the words, which is great. Thank you for that.
Yeah. We'll put in some
beach sounds.
Yeah, exactly. Like breaking waves.
Some seagulls.
Yeah. Go.
That's not what a seagull sounds
I've
like.
I've never been to the beach.
Not even Back to the Beach?
I've watched Back to the Beach.
Yeah, well, that counts. Then you've been to the beach. We're talking about swimming. It's a fun activity for anyone that can swim. Not so fun for anybody that can.
For anybody that can.
No. And the inspiration for this, Tim, is this week I went swimming in a lake.
Wow.
And I'm here to say, never a big fan of swimming in lakes.
Is it because the bottom is too slimy?
The bottom's too slimy. Yeah. That's literally my only problem with it, but it's a big one.
I mean, that's like small lakes. Like you could do well in like one of the Great Lakes, Lake Michigan, for example.
Yeah. Well, so
that kind of feels almost like an ocean. If you didn't know any, it's like an ocean for like people that like they're not
for people that don't know better.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what though? I've been swimming like off a boat in a lake, and then that's just kind of scary.
Yeah, because you can't even touch the bottom.
Yeah, and I'm not afraid of drowning. I'm just afraid of like a Loch Ness monster or something being down there.
That's
I don't like not knowing how deep the water is below me.
Right.
And if you tell me, like, oh, it's 1,000 feet deep, I'll be like, oh, okay, thank you. And then I'll be fine, but I need to know.
Oh. And you're afraid of creatures.
Yeah, I'm deathly afraid of creatures. I need to know what kind of potential undiscovered sea or lake creature I might be contending with.
Are you thinking, like, mythological creatures? Or are you just like, oh, I don't want a thing to bite me in my
No, I'm thinking
peener.
Mythological. I'm thinking cryptozoological creatures.
Beasts.
Yeah, like the Loch Ness Monster, Champy, the Lake Champion Monster, other lake monsters.
Hmm.
Snakes.
Snakes. I mean, those are real, Tom. Those are...
What?
Yeah, snakes in the water.
No, get out of town.
Whose idea was that?
Yeah, go back to the drawing board on that one,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, jeez.
That's the last thing snakes needed. You could have been like, you know, the snake's one weakness is that it can't swim.
Yeah.
But instead it's like, no, actually they can swim better than you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I went swimming in a lake. And aside from the slimy bottom, it was nice.
That's what people say about you.
Aside from the slimy bottom, I'm nice.
Yeah.
That's what my tattoo artist said. That's why I had to put the tape on. I do like that in lakes, actually, you know, like there aren't sharks in lakes, right?
Right.
Okay. So you know there aren't sharks in lakes. There are piranhas in rivers.
Yeah, there's probably piranhas in lakes.
Yeah, I've swam in a river, too. I think I've swam in just about every kind of body of water there is, now that I think about it.
This is very impressive.
But it...
A thing that most people have done,
not
you've
most
also
people,
done?
People. Some people have never done it.
If I've done it, and I'm not even a big swimmer. Yeah. Are you going to claim that you're a big swimmer?
Yeah, I'm a big swimmer.
Yeah, okay.
And I also think...
And what's the evidence for that? I was a lifeguard 20 years ago.
Tim, yes, I was a lifeguard 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago now. And I can show you a friggin' news clipping of me winning a big swim race. The big swim race.
Really? You won a swim race?
Yeah. I won a swim
race. The big swim
race. I won the big swim race. No, I won a swimming race. There was like at the pool that I worked at, the village pool.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that big of a swim race.
Well,
everybody
in the village was there.
I wasn't.
Well, then, I don't know. You're probably going to get in trouble once this comes out because it was mandatory attendance.
You didn't participate. Did everybody have to race? Or
No. Well, so the thing was, like, it was like part of something else, but every year there's a swim race, but I think they only need like one lifeguard to work it. And it was like before the pool would open.
Like early in the morning?
Yeah.
Oh, who would go to that?
That's when swim races happen, man. And like, so also,
that's why I never entered any.
Our school didn't have a pool or like a swim team or anything like that.
No, but you did get hoodwinked on your first day when somebody sold you a pass to the pool on the fourth floor.
No, I knew right away there wasn't a pool on the fourth floor. There wasn't even a fourth floor to begin with. That's how I knew. But that's what all the upperclassmen would say.
Yeah.
Upper no classmen is what I call them. Don't tell any of them.
Beat the hell out of you.
Tim, don't tell any of them I said that. So they had like a swim race before the pool opened. And
you're never going to be able to tell a high school junior or senior that they're not shit, that they suck. Like, you can tell them that, but they're never going to believe you.
Right.
There's nobody that impresses them.
No, because like, they have just massive unearned confidence.
Yeah. If we said it to them now, they'd be like, all right, you paunchy old idiots. right. But if someone like even like some like 23-year-old who like, was cool, they'd just be like, pfft.
What if a TikTok star told them?
I don't even think.
What if they made a TikTok about it?
Wow. All right. They looked at the camera and the TikTok really scares the shit out of these high school seniors.
So anyway, there was a swim race and I wasn't a lifeguard working, but I had to like be at work early or whatever. It was like a half hour before. And they were like, okay, we're going to do like a big swim race. They've been doing all the swim races, and this age group was, I think it was like 16 to 49 or 17 to 49. And I was like, oh.
They shouldn't have anybody older than 50 racing. No.
We had like some older people that swam like crazy at the pool.
Because
it's good exercise for old people. Yeah, they wear their Speedos and it's like...
Yeah, and then you'd go into the locker room and be like, you don't need to be this naked for this long.
Right. Well, and I also remember there was this woman that would... like this old woman that would come every morning and swim laps.
Mm-hmm.
And like when it would,
I think swimming laps is fine. That's a great way to stay in shape. But racing, no, you don't want to put them through that stress.
So the problem with this woman though was that she would dive into the lap lane, which was a big no-no because it was like
6 feet.
I don't think it was even 6 feet. Maybe it was, I guess it was 6 feet. But you know, there were signs everywhere: no diving. Because
that's my biggest fear in the world.
Oh yeah, and like I get. If you know how to do a shallow dive, you're fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, as lifeguards, that was the thing that was just like beat into us over and over again, where it was like, hey, the one time you guys are really going to have to be on your game and know your shit is if somebody dives in and breaks their neck.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, I've mentioned on this show, like, I had to, you know, hop in and rescue a few people. But, like, none of those were in any way where it was like I could have waited another minute, a full minute, and it would have been just as fine. You know, it was little kids that
you were just trying to be a hero.
Right. I wanted to make sure everybody came up to see it happen first. No, I mean, it was mostly little kids that got in too deep or people that like adults that didn't know how to swim and were just stupid.
Wearing jeans in the pool.
No, I just remember like.
Did you ever have to yell at anyone for wearing jeans in the pool?
we had to tell people they weren't allowed to wear jeans in the pool. I would catch them before they even got in the pool.
Oh, no. Well, you're a very vigilant lifeguard. Anybody ever die on your watch?
A few people, but it wasn't my fault. No, I was so vigilant, Tim. I ain't even allowed jeans up on the deck
because
I knew what they were up to. I knew they'd be like, no, I'm just hanging on the deck. I'm like, no, as soon as I turn my back, you're going to go in the pool with those jeans.
And once you get a guy in jeans in the pool, good luck getting him out.
Yeah.
He's got so much weight, you can't even carry him out. The jeans.
Well, I'll get to that.
Take on so much water.
I'll get to it now. That was one of my favorite things to do in the, I was a swimming instructor too, which is why I'm uniquely qualified to host this episode.
Mm-hmm. I can just go if you want this to be a monologue
about swimming safety.
Yeah.
No, like the last class that kids would have to take when they were like, I don't know, like 14, 15, was 16 maybe even, was one of the tests was that you had to jump into the pool fully clothed with jeans and like a dress shirt on.
Dress shirt?
Yeah.
In the summer?
Yeah. And you would have to tread water for a half hour.
Oh, wow.
And then after
so
that.
So you like fell off a cruise ship during right. the last.
Yeah, it was that's what it was meant to simulate. Like if you fell off a boat and nobody noticed, or would you be able to survive? And then after that, you would have to take your jeans off and
while make, in the water.
Yeah.
Okay.
And make a flotation device out of them.
Ah.
But yeah, wet jeans weigh 10,000 pounds. They are very heavy, which is why you can't go in a pool with them, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, back to the big race.
This is stuff you're only going to hear on this show. the dark side of
look,
swimming.
Look, a lot of other comedy podcasts aren't interested in your pool safety, your water safety. They'll tell you like, oh, I don't know, how heavy could a pair of jeans be?
How do you make jeans into a flotation device?
You
tie them off and then blow them up?
Yeah, kind of. You tie the two pant legs together by the ankle, and then you pull it over your head. You pull like the opening, the waist, mm-hmm. over your head and trap air and pull it down, and then like, you know, just hold it together with your hand. And then you put your head in between your legs, you know, in between the legs of the pants. Yeah. And it works surprisingly well. Like, you know, you'll have to refill it with air every once in a while, but it's really not bad. Especially, you know, this was the go-go 90s, Tim, so I wore exclusively JNCO jeans.
Yeah, well,
so I basically had a raft that I could sit on.
Do you think you'd be able to do that now?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't hard.
Treading water in all your clothes
A half hour? Probably just because, like, I don't know, I had to tread water so much that, like, I'm pretty good at being able to, like, do the absolute minimum treading to not drown.
Yeah.
To just, like, not expend a bunch of energy.
But you've really perfected doing the absolute minimum in all aspects of your life.
Thank you. I was waiting for somebody to notice that. Yeah. I mean, if I had to, like, when I was a teenager, I could also like swim, you know. I remember like hearing about like, you know, triathlons and like crazy swimming things and being like, oh, swimming as a kid, didn't you also feel like riding a bike is an exercise? I could ride a bike literally forever.
Oh yeah.
And
I still think that.
But like I thought that about swimming too. Like I could just swim endlessly. Mm. Like not full out full speed, but I would not drown. I would not, you know, I could still survive if I fell off a boat, but I could not swim nearly as long as I used to.
You just do the backstroke.
You do the backstroke. You do the dead man's float, the survivor stroke.
The dead man's float sucks because you have to hold your breath the whole time.
Yeah, but you're also not expending any energy.
Yeah, but why don't you just do that on your back?
Because then you can't see what's going on, and especially what's going on under.
Close my eyes when I go underwater.
too afraid you'll see Jim from The Office looking back at you down there.
Oh my God.
Looking out through a grate in the pool.
That is a terrifying proposition.
But anyway, Tim, back to the big race that everybody's been dying to hear about. Like basically on a whim, I was like, oh, I'll do the race. And I won.
Didn't you did it in jeans. That's how unprepared you were for it.
No, but I just remember, and it's crazy to me because like it was like a lot of dads, but it was like, you know, like in shape dads.
Mm-hmm.
And like
there aren't too many of those.
There used to be.
Yeah, that's true.
In the 90s, there used to be. Before everybody was like, oh, I have a dad bod. This is back before that existed. This was back when... I don't know. Jack LaLanne was still around.
Everybody was looking up to Jack LaLanne. Like, I'm going to pull a
everybody
boat
was,
with my teeth while I swim.
Everybody was buying Taibo DVDs that summer, so they were in very good shape. Yeah. So, like, there were dudes who were, like, you know, fit and, like, wearing Speedos and stuff, and, like, I just swam in my lifeguard trunks and, like, destroyed everyone. And I just remember these people being so mad, like just like really sore losers about it. And the thing is, I think now, like, no way in hell could I beat a 17-year-old in any physical activity. Like, why were these guys so mad? Of course I was.
And I might be able to beat one in a pie eating contest.
I don't even know if I could.
You're a fast eater, Tom.
I could not. No, I'm a slow eater. And you know what, though?
Except when it comes to savor it.
Except when it comes to sweets, I am a fast eater. Yeah. So you're right. I would be good in a pie eating contest. But teenage Tom maybe wouldn't be as fast, but he'd be able to go the distance. He'd be able to beat me that way. If for no other reason than he was stupider and would nowadays I would know, like, all right, I'm not going past this limit. I'll feel awful forever. And old Tom would be like, whatever. But yeah, so Tim, I'll bring you the photograph of me on the front page of the newspaper. With a gold medal. Now, I didn't even have medals. I don't know what I got.
What newspaper was this?
It was the Babylon Beacon, Tim. Only paper in town.
Yeah. I don't believe you, but I don't want to see that picture either.
Tim, pretty sure I'm topless in that picture, too.
Great.
Well, I had just gotten out of the water swimming, and you know, the newspaper wants to take a picture of you, your hot bod. Your hot teen bod for the front page? How could I say no?
That's a very cool, that's a feather in your cap, being shirtless on the cover of the local newspaper.
Yeah.
That's also like about like, oh, the village board meets this week to vote right. on zoning for a new restaurant.
Yeah, the trash days are changing from Wednesday to Thursday. And check out the new teen in town. I've been a teen in town for a while.
Yo,
but
do you think these dads got that newspaper on their, they're like, oh, now to read about the, what day is trash pickup? Oh, this fucking guy.
I bet a lot of those dads caught their wives reading that article quite,
flushed, all hot and bothered.
Like, why are you, honey, why are you reading that article in the bath with a bunch of candles and bubbles going? I lost that race.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Tim, here I've been talking a blue streak about swimming, and I haven't even heard what your thoughts on swimming are.
I'm moderately pro swimming.
Moderately pro?
I think it's good in a survival situation.
You could compete in the Olympics, but you couldn't do it professionally.
Right.
Okay. You think swimming's only good in a survival situation?
I mean, it's only, look, I'm not gonna worship at the altar of Michael Phelps, Tom, like some of us. You, in particular.
Michael Phelps, remember when, everybody was so upset because he was photographed with a bong, like, a year after the Olympics?
Yeah.
Like, it was, I don't know. Like, who gives a shit? Why did anybody care about that? Were there people?
Because he's Michael Phelps, man. Yeah, and everybody went, it was Phelps mania.
But were people out there thinking, like, that's how he swims so fast?
No, people were like, no, you're ruining your life. And it's just like, the most accomplished man in Olympic history.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
You know why they should be mad at him? Because I finally got tickets to Saturday Night Live. I went, and freaking Michael Phelps was the host of SNL when I went. Yeah. I saw literally the worst episode of SNL in history.
Yeah, always. I mean, Michael Jordan was good on SNL, and Joe Montana was good on SNL.
They were good each in one sketch.
That's more than Michael Phelps could say, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. There were a couple, Tom. Mm-hmm. The episode of SNL I went to was the first time that Tina Fey did Sarah Palin, and they did that classic bit with her. But, like, the rest of it was just like...
Well, and did you even see the rest of the show, or you got up and walked out when that happened?
Why? Because of Sarah Palin?
Because you like her, you respect her.
Oh, yeah, I was very upset. No, I was seated, we were seated up... Tom, near Lauren's office, where all of
and now there's Lauren Bacall.
Yeah,
she has an office at SNL.
Yeah, she. I don't really know who Lauren Bacall is. I know she's like an old lady actress.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
Yeah,
I think she probably just she was grandmothered in. She has always had that office there.
All of Michael Phelps' like friends and family were like sitting in that office the whole time, and they just like
probably stunk of weed.
They were all drinking a lot, and it was cool because
drinking's cool, yeah.
No, and they like gave us a they slipped me a beer. Wow. And you weren't allowed to drink in the studio. But like they were just like bro, like whenever Michael Phelps like said anything, they're like, oh, that's our boy, and it's just like hangers on and like swim buddies from probably when like he started swimming at like 12 years old.
Yeah,
it's annoying. And it look, I'm a comedy connoisseur, Tom. That's what I don't want to see a freaking Michael Phelps episode.
Yeah, especially when he's not swimming.
Like
I'd be interested if I was somewhere and they were like, and guess what, Michael Phelps gonna come out and swim a few laps. Be like, oh, cool, that'll be neat to see. But if they were like, Michael Phelps is going to come out and do a little comedy for you.
Hold on, I do think.
What, that he swum a few laps?
No, I don't. I believe there was a sketch where he did like the Michael Phelps diet.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Jared from Subway was in the studio.
What?
Hold on.
So are you? So you're saying, Tim, that you were in the same room with Jared Fogle?
That's the only time I've ever been in the same room as Jared.
I mean,
Fogle.
Previously, Tim, you had claimed to have never been in the same room with him, and now you're telling me that you were hanging out with him in Lorne Michaels' office during SNL. That's what I picked up from that.
Lauren Bacall.
Swimmers, yeah, like Olympic swimmers. Like, who's that other guy? Jim something. John, some, I don't know. There was like another, the knucklehead that like made up a lie about like getting mugged to like explain why he like lost a race or lost his wallet or something or lost his medals.
Oh, Lockie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it seems
Ryan Lockie.
Yes. It seems like a lot of like professional swimmers aren't getting enough oxygen. Just like pretty dumb guys.
I mean, whatever. They're swimmers. They're not like...
Yeah.
What other athletes are we like, oh, they need to be brain geniuses?
Brain geniuses. Chess?
They're not athletes.
Ooh, we're gonna get letters.
We're huge in the chess community.
Not anymore.
I also do remember Lil Wayne was the musical guest. Musical guest, Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne.
It was when he was like doing his rock music. It was like it was the worst.
It was like the worst SNL they ever made.
But I remember Jared Fogle. Now, Tom, it's like an unearthed memory. He was sitting like in the front row,
Yeah.
And I remember Lil Wayne came up to him like while they were setting up. It was pointed. It was like, "Yo, I recognize you," and took a picture with Jared Fogle.
And now, did you take a picture with Jared Fogle then or at the after party?
On Jeffrey Epstein's...
Yeah, so professional. That's why I didn't go into professional swimming, Tim. I didn't want to become a dummy like the rest of these guys. Well, I wish
you've
we
turned
had,
out real smart.
I thank you. I wish we had swimming in high school. You know what? I do and I don't. Like, I would have liked to have.
Ask questions and then interrupt yourself.
I would have liked to compete because I think I was a pretty good swimmer, and like I also, you know, because I was tall, everybody was always like, "Oh, you should play basketball." And then I played basketball, and I was awful at basketball.
Yeah, I've seen you dribble a basketball.
Yeah, dribbling. I'm not good at dribbling, but I'm so bad at shooting.
You just like slap the ball with your whole.
I just keep my whole arm very limp.
Yeah,
while I'm doing
it's not. It's
no.
It's not
I am.
The way
I am
works.
By no means a good dribbler, but I am a very bad shooter. Not if we're just like playing horse or something, I'm okay. But if it's like combined dribbling and shooting, no, the ball's gonna go flying into the stands. I can't do it. So I would have liked swimming as an alternative, because then people would have been like, "Oh, or you're built like a swimmer. You should do swimming."
Right.
But then I also think about, I think a lot of schools that have like pools, then they have to like swim during gym class. It's like, oh yeah, I don't want to be in my shorts in front of girls.
Oh. I mean, weren't you doing
that?
Yeah,
I guess I was. I don't know. I don't want...
You know what? The whole... It's all about context.
Exactly.
Right?
That's
the
what
context
it was.
Of a school day is so much different than a context of the local pool when you're a lifeguard over
summer,
the summer.
And
yeah.
You know, nobody's at school. Everybody's doing their own thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're tan. But like, yeah, in January, just like pale and after social studies class, having to get down to your skivvies and swim around. And then also like you're seeing your classmates that you don't necessarily want to see half naked. No good. You know what? So I'm glad we didn't have a pool. I'm glad they closed that fourth floor.
Yeah. After all those kids died.
Tim, what's your ideal temperature of a body of water that you're swimming in?
You know what? I have no idea. Exactly my body temperature is not good, right?
Yeah, because that's going to feel like kind of gross, actually.
That's what those float tanks we did were, right?
Yeah, the sensory deprivation tanks. Yeah. They're meant to be your exact body temperature, so you can't really feel where the water
is. No, ideally you want it to be colder so it's refreshing,
right? But not too cold.
I always have a long time to get in a pool or to get into the ocean when I'm swimming.
I do nowadays, and I never used to be that way. I used to always just be a get over with, hop in type of guy. But yeah, in my older age, Tim, I'm...
Now I have to use like all these weird like OCD tricks to get in. Like if you don't jump in this pool in 5 seconds, someone you love is going to die.
Well, that surely can't be healthy. I thought you were going
to say... But it works. It gets me in the pool, Tom.
You have to use all these tricks like putting on floaties.
No, I know how to swim. I'm not a good swimmer. You know what? I'm not a good diver. I can't dive.
And
that's why
it's been years that I've been promising to teach you how to dive.
Yeah, I never
But unfortunately, a podcast studio is not an appropriate venue to do that.
Not deep enough.
Yeah.
I diligently did swimming lessons. I feel like everyone in our town did swimming lessons.
Yeah, well, we were in a beach town, so it was, you know, a safety thing first and foremost, I think, where it was like, look, your kid's going to be, even if you're not the type of family that likes to go to the pool or the beach, like at some point they're going to be on the water. They need to be a strong swimmer.
So, like, I don't know, starting, what's the earliest that kids signed up for those swimming lessons?
I mean, I took swimming lessons as a baby.
Oh, well, but the pool that you worked at.
I think 5 years old.
Yeah, I think
kindergarten.
That's probably when I started. And, like, it sucked because it was the summer.
Yeah.
And swimming lessons were all at, like, 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
And so it's like, hey, happy summer vacation. Get out of bed and jump in this cold water. And do classes?
Yeah.
This isn't what I signed up for in the summertime.
Well, imagine being 17 years old and having to show up at the pool at 8 in the morning and get in the water with five-year-olds.
That's your job, though. That's different.
That's true, yeah.
Like, the worst was when I was in, like, fourth grade, and I had no desire to, like, learn anything. I wasn't a good swimmer, and then I couldn't dive, so I failed this one class, like, 3 summers in a row before finally I was like, guys, I'm never going to do this. Like, I hate it.
Yeah.
You're ruining my summer. And it's only like, what, 3 weeks out of the summer or something? Like,
it's not the entire summer, but I think it was like 10 weeks.
No, I didn't take 10 weeks of swimming lessons. Maybe that's why I couldn't dive.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Maybe 8 weeks, six weeks, something like that. I don't know, some number of weeks.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my shameful.
Tim, you should have taken swimming lessons under me as a teenager. I was 17 and you were 16, you should have signed up.
That I wasn't interested. I can do a crawl stroke, Tom. Mm-hmm.
Not like I could teach you how to.
I mean, maybe, but when will I ever need to do that? And I know now that I've said that I'm going to fall off a cruise ship. I should probably cancel this cruise I have planned.
We're both going to be on a ship that capsizes. I'm going to be like, Tim, I told you I'd teach you how to be a stronger swimmer. Then we both die because I have to stay behind.
I know that jeans trick now.
That's true. Yeah. And I'm glad you
do.
Tom. Because it would be tougher to explain while we are submerged.
Yeah.
So now you know it. I used to, when I was a swimming instructor, I only liked teaching the five-year-olds, even though that meant I had to get into the water, because they were like, I don't know, not cynical.
Right, but would they always be pissing?
If they were, I didn't know about it. There was a lot of chlorine in the pool.
Yeah, okay.
The only thing I didn't like was dealing with some of the parents, because like, I just remember like having parents who'd be like, just dunk them under, just throw them in. And be like, what? No.
You do that on your time.
Exactly. It's like your kid, I'm trying to earn your kid's trust.
Yeah.
And like, they don't want to get in the water today. That's okay. Like at their own time, like throwing them in the water isn't going to make them a strong swimmer. And I know, people that, like, had that experience where it was like, an instructor pushed me in and I never went back and then subsequently never learned how to swim.
I think it could go either way, though. Mm-hmm. Some people need that push.
Not a five-year-old.
No, not a five-year-old.
Yeah. No, I mean, but then, so the other people I liked teaching was when I was like 16 and I was teaching 14-year-olds because then it's just a power trip of like, you're almost my age, but I'm in charge.
Right.
And one of the,
you never met a power trip you didn't really embrace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was, I mean, that was a case where it was like, I don't want to get in, it's cold. I'd be like, get in. Like, and I would push them in. I didn't care about that.
That's what I didn't like. I didn't like the whole like,
Pushing people into the water.
I just didn't like that teens were in charge, I think. At any age, I don't like anything where teens are in charge. Except for roller coasters, where I'm fine that a bunch of teens are always in charge.
Yeah. I mean, I think about how, like, you know, when I was a lifeguard, I was an authority figure at that pool.
Yeah.
And like, God, did I wield that? And I think nowadays, like 40-year-old Tom, if like a 17-year-old even corrected me on something, oh my God, I'd be furious. I'd be so mad. And now I'm understanding why, like, you know, I would blow the whistle at somebody or like yell at them for something and like they'd lose their minds about it. I'm like, oh, I get it now. Yeah, I'd 100% lose my mind and start screaming back at the teenage lifeguard.
Oh, the whistle blowing when you're like not even in the pool, when you're just like walking and it's just like, yep, you're doing something. Oh, no flip flops on the deck. Fuck you.
Well, what about jeans, Tim? I would have to blow jeans. Blow whistles at jeans quite often, and sometimes people
whistle at a nice jeans.
Well, I'd have to take the whistle out of my mouth for that one. Have you ever been to like a pool that has a bar, like one of those things,
the swim up bar?
Yeah, which is not a wet bar.
No,
which somebody missed a trick there. That's what a wet bar should be called.
It's a swim up bar, Tom. Yeah. It's a bar that you swim up to.
And
yes.
A wet bar is just like a bar, right?
Yeah,
that's just a
so.
Way of saying like this is the type of bar
with
that
alcohol.
Serves alcohol.
Yeah.
A wet bar.
Yeah.
And what's a dry bar?
No alcohol.
Okay, makes sense. Man, imagine you went to meet up with somebody at a bar and it turned out to be a dry bar.
It's weird to me that I don't think it necessarily means like a place. I think it's like in your home.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You
could have a bar in your home. That's just a fancy way of being a counter.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Which stop calling
just
it a
call
bar,
it a counter.
You loser.
You're confusing everybody.
Yeah, and also like you think you're cool. There's if it's not wet, then
right.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody's coming over.
And then you're saying, yeah, it's not a wet bar, and I'm thinking like, yeah, I know it's not. We're not in a pool. I'm not swimming up to it.
Yes, I have been.
So jealous.
You know what?
I've never been.
It's
you don't have to get up to go to the bathroom.
That's the thing, and like
you can poop right in your seat.
It's not like, look, I'm not rich enough to be in a swim up bar
all the time
full of people who like aren't gonna piss in it, maybe.
right
so yeah. Like yeah, I was like, it was on my honeymoon in Hawaii, like at a resort, and like one of the pools had a swim up bar to it, but I was also like, there's people here that probably are like getting hammered in the pool and then just like maybe not even intentionally, but I'm probably swimming in piss.
Yeah. Well,
some Alabama piss.
I got news for you. That happens in all pools.
Even Warren Buffett's pool.
Especially Warren Buffett's pool. You know how old that guy is.
Yeah. Do you think Warren Buffett has gone swimming in the last 30 years?
Yeah, I could see him being like a weird swimming
guy.
Oh,
I'll go down to the swimming hole.
Some old people are like, you know, they get real old and then they can, you know, swimming is like the only exercise. And like you watch them swim and it's like, that's not even like a stroke. That's like something you came up with. But
you're moving.
But
and
yeah, you're
and
doing
your
something.
Your joints
so.
Aren't being, you know,
right.
There's no impact.
Yeah. So I'm not going to be like, how come you're not doing a butterfly stroke?
Yeah, no. Sometimes when you're that'll just any kind of movement, like any kind of like walking hurts.
Yeah.
So it's like, they should go to space, really. That's what that's who they should be sending to space.
Well, hey, Jeff Bezos is going there in a couple of weeks, apparently.
Yeah.
With his numbskull brother.
Yeah. What's his brother's deal?
I don't know. I just assume he's some kind of a numbskull.
Hanger on.
Yeah, I don't know, because we've never heard about Jeff Bezos' brother before, I think. But
it's just like Jeff Bezos has to know.
What?
That like, if this rocket ship explodes, like everybody's going to friggin' celebrate, right?
Well,
like I feel like Elon Musk has this like cult where they
right
like, oh.
people love him,
but Jeff Bezos doesn't have anybody. He's got nobody.
No Yeah, people aren't crazy about Jeff Bezos the way they are Elon Musk. Jeff Bezos isn't on Twitter posting memes for Grimes.
Yeah. But Jeff I bet like so many people heard the news and be like, well, this is, you know, it's very dangerous, we have that going for this mission.
You don't think I would think people's first inclination, if that rocket ship blows up, is that he was faking his
death. Yeah, that would be...
Because that's a great way to do it. That's a long game.
He retired 5 days before.
Yeah.
And then, boom.
And that's like a long, like, well, no, I've been working on rockets for, you know, the last 15
years.
Dude,
if you want to disappear, we're all happy if you just disappear. It's fine.
Yeah, I guess he
you
doesn't.
You don't have to trick us.
I don't know. Maybe.
You inserted yourself into our lives. We're not going to be sad to see you leave.
Maybe the IRS finally caught up with him and they're like, you owe us $500. He's like, oh, never. I'll fake my death.
I'm going to space.
Would you, like, we both live in the city. Neither of us live in a place where it's reasonable to have a pool. But if you had, like, a suburban home with the room for it, would you want a pool?
We have a friend, Tom, who had a pool.
Mm-hmm.
And moved, essentially, because he was like, I don't want to have a friggin' pool anymore. It sucks.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of maintenance.
Yeah. But it was an in-ground pool, which, like, I could see an above-ground pool because you're just like, eh, what can you really do in that pool?
Yeah, an above-ground pool is good for cooling off.
Right.
And, like, hanging out. An above-ground pool is basically, like, a big, not-hot hot tub.
Right.
It's a place for cooling off and socializing, perhaps. You can't swim laps in an above-ground pool.
Right. You can make a whirlpool in it.
That's
fun as hell.
Enough
people go around the edges. I've been doing a lot of hand signals this episode.
Tim, I completely forgot about making a whirlpool in an above ground pool.
Yeah,
I haven't done that in a long
time. That's the one thing
that's
good for.
You just get a bunch of people to walk around the outside faster and faster, and like it makes a legit, like, you can get sucked into it kind of whirlpool. A lot of fun. But I think an above ground pool is also less maintenance than an in-ground pool.
Yeah. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
Look, it's cool. You know, if I lived in Florida, I would want...
Where you're going to be able to use it, you know,
pool.
10 months out of the year
or
whatever. Yeah,
exactly. I can see where we grew up on Long Island, how that's a freaking really
pain in the butt.
Annoying pain in the rear.
Well, and that's what I'm always surprised at... You know, like, there are people that, you know, live in, like, upstate New York and Canada that have pools where it's like, I can use this 2 months out of the year.
Yeah.
Which actually, I don't know, maybe that's the way to do it, because maybe then it's like.
Then you really appreciate it.
Yeah.
You
and
you
probably use the hell out of it during those 2 months. I think the problem.
You like schedule your work vacations around it.
Yeah. Because I think the problem on, you know, in a place like Long Island is like, yeah, probably like 4 months out of the year.
Stop saying out of the year. I mean, I guess that's...
That's what I'm trying to...
I know.
A third of the year. Is that better?
Yeah. No, I don't prefer that. You go back to the old way. You were right. Sorry.
You can use the pool. And it's almost like too much time. And then you start opening the pool late. You know, later and later, because it's like a big pain in the butt later and later into the season.
Yeah.
And then by the time you finally get it open, you don't even use it that much. Yeah. And yeah, I get
it's
it.
It's probably like a big insurance thing.
Oh, I'm sure. Especially like, you know, when we were kids, like neither of us had pools as kids, but like we knew we had friends with pools. And yeah, I'm sure that was like, you know, a nightmare of like, oh, you have a 12-year-old son. Who has a bunch of friends that live, you know, a half a mile
radius. Oh, yeah, and it'll just be like a bunch of freaking 12-year-olds coming to your pool.
That are eventually going to get bored with this pool. And then, you know, they're not going to be like, hey, let's swim laps, everybody. It's like, no, let's see, you know, if we can trap somebody in a garbage can underwater and if they'll survive or not.
I remember one time our friend's older brother zipped our friend, coincidentally the same friend that sold his house in adulthood because he didn't want the pool in his backyard.
Yeah, well, it sounds like maybe he had a post-traumatic
zipped
experience.
Him into a sleeping bag, put the sleeping bag into a laundry basket at 2 o'clock in the morning, brought the laundry basket out into the backyard, threw it into the deep end of the pool. Jimmy almost died that day.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing where, like, you hear about on the news and you would be like, oh, try that kid as an adult. He's a murderer.
Yeah.
He's a sick man. What did he think was going to happen? He was trying to murder that kid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's even having known that story for years, it still just sounds like attempted murder.
Yeah. Well,
like pushing somebody who's wearing a shirt into the pool is a joke. Physically restraining them and throwing them into a pool is attempted murder.
Yeah. Did you ever go pool hopping down that very same street?
So you're talking about like at night, like hopping fences and going into people's pools?
Yeah, well, we would
without permission.
And I think we did this maybe twice, mm-hmm. or I participated in it twice. It maybe happened three or four times.
Yeah.
We talked about it like we did a lot, but it'd be like, yeah, like late at night, summer vacation, nothing to do. You don't have to wake up for swimming lessons early. You're already
That's probably why I didn't do it, Tim. I had to wake up and I was like, well, I'll get plenty of pool in the morning, fellas.
And like enough people had pools that you can like, just run into someone's backyard and you spend like, you know, a minute and a half, like
you jump in,
swim across and then like you jump out and then you run and you hop the fence. If the next property has a pool, you do the same thing there. If not, you go to, you know, but like, could you imagine having a pool and a bunch of fucking kids coming at 1 a.m. and then like, what if someone cracks their goddamn head open?
Yeah.
I'm old. This sucks. This sucks.
That's why if I had a pool, I would electrify it at night.
Yeah. Kill them all immediately.
I wonder if you could get, I don't know. I'm sure probably in Florida you could get away with like not having insurance if you electrify your pool. Then it's just like, stand your ground. I wasn't allowing them to swim in there. And if it meant taking their life to stop them from swimming in my pool, I was willing to do it.
I was going to end the show.
Go ahead.
No, were you going to say something?
I was going to say, if you like the show, you can find out more at tcgt.com.
I'll look at my phone.
You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/completeguide. Follow us on Instagram at tcgte. Follow us on Twitter at completeguide. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Tom Reynolds. You can follow Tim at your pal Tim.
Sorry, I was looking at my phone.
You can, most importantly, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/completeguide for Books the Podcast, where we read books. I just finished reading 1984. Tim has presumably watched the movie version of 1984.
I did. I watched the 1984 version of it.
The 1984 version of movies called 1984.
The version of the film 1984 that came out in the year of our Lord 1984.
Well, that's very confusing. But talk about synergy. Patreon.com/completeguide. You can get new episodes and all the back episodes as well. Yeah. Tim, what are your thoughts on chlorine?
Pro-chlorine.
Right? Chlorine's a great smell.
Yeah, no, I'm just glad that it keeps the pools clean. I only find myself mostly in public pools these days.
Well, you use chlorine at a private pool. You could use bromine. Some people are into bromine.
Yeah, no, I know they use it, but like it's like I am very invested in like I am in pools where like bunch of strangers are in those
pools. Tim, if you've invested in a chlorine company stocks, you're supposed to disclose that at the beginning of the
episode. We have to disclose all of our investments, right?
Well, if we're doing an episode about swimming and you're telling me I'm very invested in chlorine, well, come on, Tim. Obviously, you're trying to sway the market here with this episode. You know a lot of stockbrokers listen to this, a lot of hedge funds.
I don't open my eyes underwater anyway, and I'm not a goggles man, so I just close my eyes. So yeah. Chlorine doesn't bother me.
I open my eyes underwater. I'm
in chlorinated
tough
water?
Guy. I mean, I used to do it all the time in chlorinated water, and I think, you know, my eyes just got used to hurting.
There was like a year or two where I was like, probably when I was like 16, 17, where I was like, all right, shut up. Just open your eyes under there. And it was fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I, you know, had like worked up an immunity to it, but I was also pretty exclusively living on chicken McNuggets at the time. I was just at like the peak fitness that
God,
I would ever be
I
at.
I wish.
Where like nothing could hurt me.
I'm so sad that I'll never be 19 again.
Swim in a vat of chlorine. That's what I remember.
Pissed
like
about it every day.
when I worked at the pool, there was like, you know, a big pump house with all the chemicals and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they would always be like, don't go in there. Stay away from there. And but like sometimes I would have to go in there to like find somebody. And it was terrifying. It was just like vats of like incredibly harsh industrial chemicals. And I never really liked it. I never really understood. They would like have to test the pool all the time, which was good. But I never really understood what they were looking for. It was like, all
right. The right pH balance, Tom.
Yeah, but it's like, keep track of what you're putting in it.
Yeah, but you have to, you know, the teens are running the show. You have to.
No, like, there was an old guy.
An old guy.
But he
testing
had a teen
it?
Apprentice yeah, okay. who would work under him.
Yeah. Sean did that job for a while. He'd drive from pool to pool in the town
and just test the water. Yeah.
I doubt he like showed up and actually.
Yeah,
we had a lot of friends that worked for the pool, like
yeah,
in college, mm-hmm. like summers in college, and it's like, oh, work for the pools, and like none of us did our stated jobs at those pools.
Well, I, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, it was like an older guy and then like one or two teens that would work in the pump house, and it really didn't make sense because like. I guess I was always under the impression like they would test the water a few times a day, and that just involved like, you know, going to the edge of the water, getting a vial of water, you know, a little test tube, and then, you know, going back and testing it. But like, I don't know why I thought like, oh, the rest of the time they're in the pump house, they're like constantly working. There's just like a whole board. There's like a whole board of meters and they're looking at different dials. Like, no, it's too much of this. Add more of this. Remove some of that.
And you were just like having chicken McNugget eating contests yeah. with the other lifeguards.
Yeah. I was just like, man, I know I'm not really doing any real work, but these guys. Guys, they're working their butts off. And it's like, no, they aren't. They're testing once, you know, twice a day if there's chlorine or not in it. Half the time, probably just going, eh. And then, yeah, that's definitely what they were doing. Because whenever the Department of Health would show up, they would flip out. They would like, it was like turning a light on.
Nobody at the public pool is except for the man in the scary room.
Yeah.
Nobody's pulling their weight. It's a joke of a job. It's a joke of a
system. How dare you, Tim? That was the best job I ever had.
See you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.